again, that's a massive, massive topic. I'm not going to get into all of it, obviously. But let us at least do what we can, all right? Right. Okay. So, we were in the middle of discussing part of this question. Again, the background, just to get us back to where we were, thank you, is that I guess there's a Balei Tosas and Bava Kamma. Look at that first. I just want to go through the Ramban and Tosas and Bava Kamma. As I said, this is really a massive Shas topic, but it's something that you should generally, of course, be familiar with. So, of course, in our sugya, this comes up on the Omer Lo Gedor, Omer Lo Gedor. What's the point of emphasizing twice the requirement of the building the fence? So, again, some Rishonim think that this has to do with Hasra or Hoda'a. That's part of the question of Makshava, which we discussed already. And we know there's a range of views. Some people think once, twice, maybe three times, or maybe zero times, and it's just the Melitza B'Alma. So the Gedor as a Hasra is something we've pretty much taken care of. The other possibility is that Gedor is a way of hinting at what will happen if there's a hefsek, I guess you could call it, between the two periods of growth of the Kalayakel. And that's where we're familiar with the view of Rabbeinu Tam, right, who says that in Sefer Yashar, it's also quoted here and in Tosas and Bava Kamma and elsewhere, that the reason for the double gedor is to teach you that kama batel, that if you don't reach the shiur of masayim, with continuity, if it's disrupted by a building of the fence, then you don't. Even though so if you have a unika, let's say, which qualifies. Right, if it's broken up by a building of the fence in between, then we say the principle of kama bata. That's what Tosas again. Here you have it a little bit. Right, basically, the bigger analysis, right, is in Tosas and Bava Kamma. We'll analyze the language in just a minute, and. Tosas basically, as we'll see in a moment, treats this in a very, general and classical way. In other words, Tosas plugs in this topic to the general question of when we say kama batel, as opposed to the way they contrast it sometimes, chozer v'neir. And it doesn't appear that Tosas thinks that there's anything unique or singular about Kilaya Kerem, right, when it comes to this particular question. The Ramban has a Deya in the end of his presentation, which argues with Rabbeinu Tam, and which argues that, on the contrary, the Gedor is to teach you the opposite, right, that you could be Mitzaref, the periods of growth, even if they are disrupted or interrupted by a tikkun in terms of the fence. Nonetheless, what we care about in the end, basically, the Ramban's second Deya, he doesn't seem to embrace it so much, but he quotes it, it's very important, is that you would say the equivalent of Chozer, the Neir, when it comes to this halacha. There's no hint in the Ramban's presentation whether that second Deya is, due to some anomaly or some unique status of the Isra of Kilaya Karen. Typically you would say kama batel, but you don't in Kilaya Karen. Or, on the contrary, this is just part of the general argument. In other words, maybe in general, we're much less prone to saying kama batel, and more open to chozer v'neir, or the effect of chozer v'neir. And something about the way we look at Kilaya Karen itself is going to determine this question. That it can be, I guess, I guess, three possibilities, right? One is, again, that we're simply applying a general a default predisposition to saying chozer v'ne'er and limiting kama kama bata. I'll get back to that in a second. Or shiny kilai akerim, it just doesn't. Normally in Okanami we say kama kama batel, but kilai akerim is unique for the reasons we have already discussed, and we'll just repeat in a minute. Or, you know, something in between, which is that, you know, kind of more like the first perspective, and that is that there's no, you know, broad default, let's say, preference to saying kama kama batel or to saying chozer v'ne'er. It actually depends on, you know, the details of each case and what it fits into. I'll explain this in just a minute. And kilai akerim just happens to fit in to, you know, to the pattern of chozer v'ne'er more than, you know, than the pattern. Not because of something unique about kilai akerim, just, you know, even just as an application. Although that itself may have something to do with the nature of kilai akerim. Just maybe not in as big a way, you know, as I was hinting at before. For just to explain, just to give a little detail, maybe it matters whether or not we, and I'll again substantiate it more in a minute, whether we look at the problem of kilai akerim in terms of the maisa tziruf of kilai akerim, the yeyush, the irvuv, we'll call it, in which case it's kind of an action, an oser. And then naturally, if that gets, you know, disrupted, you know, it's hard to see that as being naturally, you know, integrated. Or as opposed to looking at, you know, the shiur of Gidol Masayim, not as a shiur in Irvu, as a Maisa, but as a Chefza, right? Just like, again, going back to Basar B'Chalav as a great example, you know, just like, you know, you have a little bit of you know, chalav that falls into the basar, you know, but not enough. And then, you know, there could be all sorts of interruptions. And then at some later point, you know, more chalav, you know, falls into the basar, and you reach, you know, the shiur of no same time. So the more you look at kilai akerim, you know, as a cheftza of, you know, taroves or shiluv or tziruf, whatever you want to call it, unika, you know, of a certain part, you know, the more prone you are, we'll explain this more in a minute, just I'll flesh it out a little more, the more prone you are to thinking, you know, the effect of, and maybe it's not even, as I said before, correct, you know, to and from a lumdus point of view, from a legal theory point of view, to call it chozer v'ne'er, just, you know, just the effect of that. So this, it's hard to pin down that other daya in the Ramban, the one that's against the Rabbeinu Tam, you know, it's hard to know which of those three, you know, aspects to emphasize. The Ramban himself, as I say, mostly, you know, operates with the, you know, perspective of the Balei Tosis, which is that this is a good venue, you know, to apply and to plug in, you know, the dialectic between kama kama batel and chozer v'ne'er. But as I indicated the other day, you know, at least once or twice, you know, there are, it sounds like the Ramban is trying to push, you know, away from that and trying to establish that maybe kilai akerim is just different. And by that I mean that you know, as I said the other day, typically the question of kama kama batel and the question of chozer v'ne'er applies in a taroves and in a regular din of bittul. So I would say the following, just roughly speaking, or broadly speaking, that in order to say kama kama batel, and especially to mean it, in other words, for it to be in a legally accurate or precise way of explaining what you're trying to describe, you would have to say that, you know, at the initial stages, whatever it is, the critical moment that we're speaking about, that there is some sort of a tarobes, A. B, that you know, in theory, you know, the presence of a certain component or a certain kapsa, right, is already, you know, threatening that taroves, as opposed to saying, point number one, they're just not me'urav enough. There's no tziruv. Or there is tziruv, but at these numbers, right, it's all innocuous and it has no meaning. Because then you don't need to say, you know, if there's no tarobas, there's no bittul, and if there's no threat, you know, then there's no need for bittul. So those are two points. The third point is that this is a moment of you know, some sort of a critical moment of evaluation. Like, do we say, is bittul any more point in time, or is it, you know, depend on something happening? You know, when do we look, like, to define, you know, an object? Like, every second, it's fair game to do that? Or you know, when something happens to the object? And if so, like, what is the criterion for that? That's the third point. And then the fourth point, I guess, would be, you know, some of them are overlapping, of course, is that the bittul is a formal action of some form, so of some sort. So there's iruv, there's a taroves, right? There is a problem, you know, because let's say you have some nevela, you know, inside this taroves, and nevela is always asur. If you were to find it, it would be asur. If you could isolate it would be asur, right? So. You know, then you're saying, oh, it's the moment that it's right now as opposed to 2 weeks from now, you know, that we are going to determine the status of this chafza, right? That's point number three. And point number four is you're saying batel, but you're not just saying there's not enough to be oser or the kol. What you're saying is, you know, it's batel. Okay. And therefore, even if some, the idea being that if something changes along the way, that still what happened previously is still batel, meaning something formal and legal, you know, has taken place. What that formal legal thing is, I think that still could be described differently. We'll get back to it in a few minutes. But I think those are the conditions to say comma, batel, right, when we are talking about, you know, a future impact, not just a present, you know, description. Because if you were focusing on the present description alone, we don't need to say the words comma, bato. Right? We could simply say that, you know, there's not yet enough proportion of Isar, or the circumstances are not yet, you know, ripe, you know, for this to be considered Asar. And therefore nothing has changed. If I say nothing has changed, right, that doesn't mean that this moment is legally impactful or etched in time such that, you know, the future, you know, is determined by that assessment in the past. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's no reason to change or to, no reason to be osa or to change the status quo now. And I could even add the word yet. And if I add the word yet, then I'm certainly implying, you know, that, you know, the day may come when what happened right now, you know, is going to accumulate with something else and be impactful. I'm just trying a little bit, you know, to elaborate on what I mean also by the sensibility of the terms. So when you say comma, batel, as opposed to saying there's not enough of a basis for one of these various reasons, no tarovas, no davar ha'asur in the tarovas, or not sufficient, not the moment to make an evaluation, right? Or not a formal bittul. If you're going to say any of those things, then what you really would be saying is simply, right now, nothing has happened. Nothing consequential, you know, has taken place. That doesn't sound like, from a linguistic point of view, or at least a legal point of view, it might have the same effect. If I say nothing has happened and everything is good, you know, that's, you could say comma, batel. But it isn't really. Okay. Similarly, when I say the words kozer v'neor, as I was trying to explain at the end of last year also, The connotation is we are reopening and undoing. The real connotation is this thing was batel, and now we are revising our assessment. And even then, now again, effect-wise, just like the parallel in kama kama batel, you know, another way of saying that is to say, you know, even though previously you didn't have a foundation or a basis for Isur, right, you've reached the point where now you do. Okay. I just wouldn't use necessarily the word. Again, once these words, once these phrases came to be known, they're often used just to signify the result. But I'm just trying to be clear about the implications of the terminology. Chozer v'neir to me means, you know, it was pronounced, formalized as being heter or not asur, right? And now we're revising that, right? Chozer v'neir. Now, why would something be chozer v'neir, right? In a formal way, as opposed to saying, well, you know, now we've reached the point that we didn't reach before. So again, it could be because it's a new critical moment, right? Till now, maybe the idea of kama kama batal was, you know, we've already made that legal determination, and therefore it stands. But, you know, if there's another reason, you know, to reassess status or stature, you know, then it's a new assessment. And the new assessment is determined by the present configuration. If that's Rov or Shishim or, you know, Masayim, you know, then what happened previously happened previously. But it's irrelevant. There could be another reason, or another reason for this, and that is that there's a new reality, you know, in a qualitative way. In other words, it's not just that, oh, it's a little more. Maybe previously we paskind, we said bittel, kama kama batel, right, to, you know, one kind of taroves or one kind of, you know, iser. And now, for the first time, you know, we're confronted, you know, with a different one. Would you call that chozer v'neir? That's some kind of something in between saying, well, you know, previously didn't qualify and now it got there, right? Which is one way of saying things. Previously it was mutter, was deemed mutter, was pronounced mutter. Now we're reevaluating and we're going to come to a different conclusion, right? And we're throwing out the previous determination. And in between those two things is the idea that, you know, previously we were assessing one kind of a, you know, Tarovis and Bittel problem, right? And now we're confronted for the first time, you know, with a totally different Chalos, you know, and that's why Kama Kama Bottle from before doesn't matter. Okay, is that called Chozer v'Neir? That's kind of in between. So for example, of course, the best example, Josh?
Well,
Batsu Bechama, for sure, but any time, really. Right. Although you could be Mechali, for sure. Right. In other words, let's say previously we're working with Be'ens, you know, and also a certain kind of, you know, clash of Be'ens, right? And, you know, like we're worried about bumping in, you know, to Nevela, or you know, happening upon Trefa. Or Truma, or whatever it is, right? And now, you know, we're talking about something else, and that is a Taroves of Tam, assuming that the Taroves of Tam is a different kind of Chalos. Okay, something we'll talk about. All these just very quickly, but because they're part of the story. If we think, like, Tam Kika or Tam is a different Chalos, so what we're saying is, you know, till now, we were dealing with a Be'en-type Taroves, and we paskin that the Bittel was kind of matir, right, or hofeich, and that was the end of that. You know, so whatever was there was turned into heter, or was matired, or was turned into the other object. right? And now we're just dealing with a new reality. Okay, so that's what I mean when I talk about now. Again, all these things are you know relevant to you know the in most cases to the typical. There's a tarovis, you know. There's also then, you know, a certain proportion of that. You know, the question of proportion vis-a-vis the be'en, the proportion vis-a-vis defining the whole. You know, and then at some point, you know, things like, you know, rove and tam will say, and then rove, you know, etc. But one could have said, and this is the bigger point I was trying to make, that this whole topic of kilaya karim is different. If we assume that it isn't at all like Basa Bakala, you know, that at least initially, and maybe even in all circumstances, there's never really a chefza shel tarovis, right? And that really the issue is a very specific, unique idea of the oser of irvuv. Irvuv shnei aminim, where the minim are identifiable still, but it's the relationship that they have with each other. You know, that is what is important. If that's the case, then, you know, in both circumstances, you just wouldn't assume necessarily either of these, you know, principles. Now, let me make one other thing clear, and that is that you could say that even if Kilaya Karim works in a very different way, and it's not the regular din of Bittul at all, the Shir of Masayim is different, although we should talk briefly, you know, there's a debate whether that's Doraisa and Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, or that's only Drabanan, and what would be, you know, the Shir Doraisa if there was. Obviously, I've talked about that also, but, you know, let's assume for the moment that Kilaya Karim is different, you know, as we've kind of explained in terms of in an Amos Adom Shin Shalom, the role of Yeyush, you know, the various other issues that we've discussed. It still doesn't mean that you can't invoke like the parallels to things like Kamakama Batel or Choza Vineya. You know, certainly as Melitzas. Because again, you're still going to have to contend with this question or some of the over, you know, we'll call it the parallel questions, you know, of like when do you assess Kilaya Karim at a particular point? However, at minimum, if you do acknowledge that this is a very different, you know, kind of an Iser, at minimum, all bets are off in terms of stiras or just plugging it in, you know, to the regular deen. You could still say, well, if you're a kama batel, you know, kind of a rishon or a posek, you know, do you think that's the predominant idea in general? You know, so you might think that that's true in assessing, you know, that has consequences in terms of like, you know, what's the moment to evaluate? You know, when do you reopen the books? I mean, what I'm saying is that there are still, you know, some broad, you know, relationship, and certainly parallels. But still, that's very, very different, especially if you, you know, run into stiras. At least you have to consider very, you know, critically, you know, the idea that, you know, shiny the shiny. That could be, it's in the nature of Kilaya Karim to be saying one much more, you know, than the other. Okay, so that was all very abstract. So let's get into just one other point, and that is, of course, this whole question of Kamakama Batel, Chozavane, or again, the in-between of the two, which is, you know, at what point do you have a problematic taroves with a proper shear that is an issue, you know, this whole question plays out in Kilaya Karim in two different ways. The way that is more explicit, where you get the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban discussion and the Deya, you know, which is Kolek on Rabbeinu Tam, is on the question of, you know, disrupting the Irvuv, right? It's growing, and then you rebuild the Kosel. And that, of course, what was the main thing that, you know, we begin to talk about in that argument. But Agav, right? The Rishonim had to relate, you know, to, once you're talking about these categories, you know, to the earliest stage or the early stage, which is how come, right, you ever can get to Masayim, right? Why don't you always simply say Kama Kama Batel on your way there? Right. So that question, you know, is also part of the same story, although it could be Mechalik, meaning, you know, assessing what creates the shiur, or the process that creates the irvu of kilayat kerem, you know, is one thing, and then, you know, assessing, you know, when you finally have that, how it came about is something else. Right. So, for example, that's a great example of what I've been talking about. Right, that's an issue that bothered the Baalei Tosfos, that bothered the Ramban. Right, why don't you say about every Kilayah Karen case, you know, Kama Kama Bata? Right? And I would have answered that question by saying, because even if you want to argue that there is some sort of a Chefza Shel Taroves comparable to other Taruvios, you know, where they discuss this issue, whether it's Basa B'Chalav or other Taruvios. Even if you want to say that, once, you know, you have accumulated to the Shi'ur, to say that prior to the Shi'ur, right, is not Mukhrach at all. That's to say, as things are growing, but they haven't reached the, you know, Echad HaMasayim yet, that there's no Taroves at all. You could say there's never a Taroves, because, you know, even the indika is still based on, you know, the actual presence. That's the whole mechayev here, is the presence of the tuminim, and the fact that they're not talim, but that they're just in too close proximity or too close a relationship. Okay, but whatever you want to say about that, you know, it's even more compelling to say that about the pre-shiur stage. I mean, as it's growing, if I am talking about basa b'chalav or nevela that falls into a taroves, so there is a clear taroves. You could say, oh, it's not enough. Right? Does a teeny bit, does less than a shishim of nevela, you know, does it register? But it's in there. Right? In the case of kilayah kerem, right, we're just talking about the sadeh, you know. And it's all, remember, it's all so subjective. The Makshava component, it's all like what grew, right, when the wall was down. You know, the Yanika, you know, takes place when the wall is up or it's down. It doesn't make a difference. Right. So the idea of saying that it just doesn't even count ever as a Taroves and a Bittul in that sense, you know, but Kol Shekein doesn't apply that way before you reach the Shiur. Very reasonable. Similar, Mashal Amad Abar Domek, I think Josh was saying about Basa B'Chalav, right? If Basa B'Chalav is opposed to, like, Nevela, right? Nevela falls into a Taroves, so, you know, it's still there. I mean, if you found that piece of Nevela, you know, if it wasn't Batal, it would certainly be Asar. Right? But Chalav is Mutter and Basar is Mutter, so, you know, if you don't have the Shear of Basa B'Chalav, you know, you could argue that, you know, you don't need bittul because it's derech bishul asra Torah. You don't have to say that. I mean, that's a question. Right. Everybody with me? So these are just different models of taroves. And then, of course, in addition, if you really want to complicate it, you know, there's lach b'lach and there's yavish b'yavish. You know, and I'm talking about a regular taroves. And there's min b'mino and there's min she'ena b'mino. You know, and then there are things that are asur b'mashu and things that are asur question d'oraisa d'rabbanan, b'masayim, b'meya, right? You know, all those issues. Last year we talked about, you know, the taroves chametz, you know, being at least according to the Rambam and some other Rishonim, you know, being a unique, you know, category. So these are all questions. These are all issues, you know, that come up. So just in broader sense, first I'm going to go through the Tosas in just a minute, but just to make the bigger picture clear. Now we're going to go read inside Tosas Bava Kamma for a minute or two, a couple of minutes. Tosas Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Amud Beis, right? Mostly believes in general. This is just a very quick survey, nothing compared to what's out there. And it's all over the place. Choros and Chulin and Psachim, and as you know, these are Avodah Zarah, of course. You know, these are big, big Yoredei Yisur V'Heter topics. They're all over, you know, Zrayim, Trumos, and Kelayim, of course. Anyways, applying it to, you know, Dinei Tumah, Dinei Mikvos, we're talking about. You can imagine, because anytime you have a mixture of things that have different status, we're talking about, you know, these issues of Bittul and so on. Anyways, the thrust of Tosas, we'll have somebody read it in just a minute, in Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Amud Beis, is that, you know, fundamentally, we hold Kamma Kamma Bata. Like, that's the main principle. If you read Tosas Bava Kamma, you know, and we'll read it in a minute, but what about this Gemara, that Gemara, and the next Gemara? The thrust of Tosas is to be miyashe, those other things. Now, in the Yishuvim, there might be chilukim that are very important, or this is a chumra, that's chumra, the chumra of, you know, meperos for a mikvah, of mashahu, of tumah, but like the default principle is that of kamma kamma bata. And if you say that, you know, so then what really gets pressured is not Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion, you know, because that's just kamma kamma bata. If you buy into the application, either, you know, alpidin, this is what it is, or even if it's different kilai karim, still the parallel, you know, principle still applies. So the Rabbeinu Tam part is simple. What's difficult is the first part, and that is like, how do you ever get to the shir of Masayim without saying kamma kamma batel along the way? And just to make that clearer, you know, the way you solve that problem in other Isurim is how? Yoni? Like, as I said the same thing to you about any Isur. Like, how do you get the Isur of Yayinesach? It's kamma kamma batel. How do you get the Isur of Basar Bakala? How do you get the Isur of any Tarovas, which is Asr? What? Well, the Asr Lavo, I'm trying to just highlight that what Tosa says isn't so obvious. So you're like a step ahead of me. But before we get to that, I'm saying if it was other, I'm just trying to explain why Tosa was bothered by this question. You know, but why aren't they bothered by it in all cases? The answer is, it's a simple point, but I'm saying we'll get back to the answer in just a minute. And that is bivasachas, right? In other words, in most Isurim, you could say, you could have like a default principle of kamma kamma bata, right? And you could still have the Isur taroves, because you just, you know, it's the bivasachas. You pour enough, chalav into the basar. Or enough, nevela, you know, into the tarovets, or trefa, or pigol, or whatever it is. So everybody agrees there's no, not going to say kamma kamma bata. This kamma kamma bata doesn't threaten, you know, to, you know, make extinct, you know, other isurei Torah of the tarovets. And that's what kind of what Rabbeinu Tam and the Bali Tosas often say. They say, oh, that case, you know, that's bevasachas. You know, this case, you know, that's behepsik. Okay? The problem with kilai akerim is, just as factually important to know, but it's also, it's relevant, you know, for the bigger point that I'm trying to make, which is that you could have said this whole thing is just a different sugya, completely. The thing with kilai akerim is there's no such thing as bevasachas. I mean, there is. There is bevasachas if you're zoreya, you know, bemapolis yad, we'll talk about that for a minute or two also still. You know, what the relationship is according to Rabbi Yoshia, who thinks that's a way to get Skaya for Kalaya Karen. You know, what's the relationship between that and Tosefes Masayim? But if there's a din of Tosefes Masayim, so obviously Bevatzachas is impossible. And that's what really troubled the Rishonim about the Kamakama Batel problem in Kilayim. It starts off with Rabbeinu Tam, but once you're explaining Rabbeinu Tam that there's a din of Kamakama Batel and it applies to Kilayim, then you've kind of, you know, rendered the whole enterprise of Tosefes Masayim impossible. That's not true about Basa B'chalim, and it's not true about other Taruvios, but there's no Bevatzachas in Tosefes Masayim. That's the point. Ah. So then the question becomes, so again, so I would have said, yeah, but no difficulty, because it's not a Taroves, and it's not a, you don't need Kamakama Bata. All you need to say is, there's no Taroves, right? Or there's no Maisa Irvum. You know, so until you get to that point, there's nothing, right? But for the Rishonim who didn't think that that was either true, or if they thought it was true, they still thought that there still has to be this kind of a parallel, they had to come up, you know, with, apparently it isn't only the Basachas, so what's the alternative? That it's anything but a clear hefsek? That's kind of what Yoni was saying, right? And if you look at the range again, you know, between, you know, an Issa Shanafal B'Basachas, you know, on the one hand, and a, oh, there's a clear hefsek, you know, on the other, there are things in between that you could wonder about. Like, let's say something, you know, is certainly not B'Basachas, but it's a process, you know, and it's continuous. You know, like Gidol. Does it need to be naturally continuous? Hard to know. Is it like the anticipation of it? Is it the natural, you know, nature of the process? What is it exactly? Does what will be the equivalent of, I mean, there's a hefsek in time, right? So if your paradigm is hefsek and bevasachas, you know, so natural growth, anticipated growth, you know, is something that comes in between. That's what pushed the Rishonim in our different formulations, which we'll look at in a second, right, to say, no, this is the equivalent of bevasachas, or at least it's not hefsek. Okay, but you could have said a whole different idea. Okay, so anyways, Tosis in Bava Kama, and we'll get to the relevant lines in just a second, just to document it, takes the general view that Kama Kama Batel, even in cases where there's Rove and Shishim down the line in some cases, right? Even then, you're not going to say Chozer V'Neir mostly, except for a Chumrah here, a Chumrah there, another Chumrah, etc. Aye, so how do you get Kalaya Karen? And he's not giving the bigger answer because Tosis doesn't think, again, either the parallel or he just thinks it's Tarobis. It's regularly plugging in. So that's where you get two formulations in Tosis Bava Kama, which we'll see in a moment, about how the natural growth or the anticipated growth, right, is the equivalent, right, of Bevasachas. Okay. On the other hand, if you look at other Tosasin, that's the point I want to make, like Tosasin Bechoros, I didn't give it to you to look at. Well, we Tosas Bava Kama in a minute, because that's relevant to us. But Tosasin Bechoros I just brought, that's just a very good example of it. Tosas, the case is brought in Tosin Bava Kama. They tell you in that Tosis to look at this Tosis, but they're all over the Tosin Nida. Again, this is all over. The Rashes are just, it's a massive topic. But Tosin Bechoros, just the thrust of it, is against Rabbeinu Tam. And the thrust of it is that we don't default say kamakama batel. We default say because of an error. Totally different idea. There's Dibramasl Yatsav Rabdimi, Hiksha Rav Rabbefrayim, Hachisl Rabdimi, Dapilu Taro Reres Tuma, Perik Basin of Anazara, Isapil Isra, Eno Rer Isra, Mikamar Hamaari Yain Nesach, Michavis the Bar, Philakol Yom Kula, Rishon Rishon Batel, Misham Dahakam Ishmedor Eish Lakish, Bahasim Ishmed Rab Yochanan. Wow. Miyukasha, Rab Yochanan, Dapilu Tuma, the Chulin, the Kila, the Daikinan. The Samach Masisin of Brisa, the Tuma, Reres Tuma, the Kamar Shema Yavi Kav Chulin Tmeim, Kolshkein, the Iser, Eishlo Orer, Iser. Umilsa the Pshitei, Bekula Shast, Iser Maorer Iser. Iser Maorer Iser is like cause of an air. Uperaka Aral Nami, I mean, Nasan Sa'ah, Natal Sa'ah, that's in the Mikvos, Kashrad Rubo, Aval Yasser Mimenulo, Lo Amina Rishon Rishon Batel, Uperaka Notel, right, so Yaflikatos and Shabbos there too. Sa shall truma shenaplatoch kuf shall chulin, vlahispik la losa shenapla keres, aser. Miu emi shomraya kolkach, the hasam, bishum de sarisha nami de lo aser, mikum londis batel, tzorak laharim. Get to that. Odashka kam de perkando de minayerek, right, afili gidule heter, malin saiser, that's the Shemitah case. Miu emi shom kusher lafima sharagol, rabbeinu tam, Lechalik ben heter de gadal beli hapsek. There's already where Rebbeinu Tam developed this for Kalayim, but now he's applying it. Heter de gadal beli hapsek. Lehecha de ike hapsek. Umamid ahida varazara de mifsak psuke ken ashkam beperk basur de nida. Gabidam tvusa. Lechalik ben pasak lo pasak. Beperk hatarobes. Dam le tokamayim rishon rishon batel. Asam airi. The pasak. Okay. Bahu the Shema Rabba note for Nala Zochlin, another Mikvah's case. Hainu Shema Yarbu below Hefs. I mean, Tokach and Farsha Ben Tamba goes on Kambo, Beresh Bava Basra, the Nokat Nifritza, I'm sorry, the Nokat, yeah, Nifritza Omelo Gador Tre Zimni, the Mesh Tosefas Masayim, Bain Shnea Pame Emet Star from the Isser, Kim Shesh Hefs. Abakasha, Behodishmaitin, Uperka Arel, now, feel below Hefsek or mean in Chos of Ineir. Not only in Hefsek. Benir Larebi, this is the Tosin Bechoros, against Rabbeinu Tam. The Bechol Duch de Yesh Lios Neir. Now, feel above Hefsek. The Gabi Dam Tvusa Beperk Basa Denida, the Rabbana Nekilu. Vaida Taruvas Dam Shiny, the Yesh Dichu Yaitzel Kachim. All sorts of answers, but Bahid Rabbi Yochanan Kamar Rishon Rishon Bat Lainu Kozman Sheish Beheter Shishim Ala Iser the Lake and the Sinas Tam. When he said Kama Kama Batel, he didn't mean Kama Kama Batel. He meant that there isn't sufficient shear to be Oser. Of course, this is exactly what we were talking about before, right? It doesn't sound that that's what Kama Kama Batel means, but right. By Yisr Mashu, the Masisa, the Hasam Kai, Avlim Rava, Yisr, Osir, She Yisr, Mamiz Batlan, Chosam in the Orin. And so on. He continues to discuss this whole issue. Of course, if you say Chosam in the Orin, or the equivalent of Chosam in the Orin, right, then you have no problem with the beginning, process of Kilayim till Masayim. That part of it makes sense. Of course, you don't say Kamakama Batel, and when you reach the Shir Masayim, it's going to be fine. But what will you say about, Omer Lo Gador, Omer Lo Gador? Are you going to take the view of the second day of the Ramban? Or are you going to say that Shiny Kilayim, Shiny Kilaya Kerim, has nothing to do with Kamakama Batel? It has to do with the Oser of Kilaya Kerim being a Maisa Irvuv, right? The Maisa Irvuv, once you disrupt it, it's not a Maisa Irvuv. Or to use the language of the Ramban, although again, I don't think he was going this far with it, once you build the fence, it's like you're Oker, the previous, Gidol. Like it's your way of negating of saying lo nichale bekilaya kera. So you're like, you know, A, you're disrupting the maisa irbuv, which is the mechayiv and the oser, and B, maybe you're even turning back the clock. Right? When we say, you know, you don't, for that you don't need to say, you know, kama kama batel. Right? All you need to say is it doesn't fit with the nature and character of the Isur of Kilaya Kerem. Right? Okay. So that's kind of what I was trying to suggest. Tosfos Bavakama goes in one direction in the general thrust. Tosfos Bechoros in a very different direction. And then, of course, many of the other Tosfosim, and certainly the Ramban, you know, kind of, you know, take the middle view. Like many Tosfosim say, no, once you get to Rove, or once you get to, particularly Rove, once you get to Rove, that's a different story. There you're going to say Chozer B'Neim. Why? Because at that point, you know, it's a critical moment to reassess. Like, till you hit Rove, you know, the old psak, you know, is still, you know, still prevails. Like, why, you don't assess a chepetz's status al pidin every second. Right? There has to be, you know, a particular reason. A maisa, oh, when it falls in, that's a good moment. Right? When it hits Rove, that might be another reason. Or, as I said before, that's already a different chalos. Whatever way the bittul, the formal bittul worked, you know, once you're, you know, in a state of Rove, maybe, right, that's just a different chalos haroves. So it isn't so much that, you know, oh, it's just another moment to evaluate. It's a different circumstance entirely. The Ramban, of course, as we'll see in a moment, just read the language in a minute, not just Rove. In other words, some of the Bali Tosfos also have this, but Tam. Right? Once you hit the Tam, which is much less than Rove, that's just simply Shishim, less than Shishim, but it's certainly not Rove, you no longer say, you know, Kama Kama Vata. So again, that's just because it's a different shiur and it's a different kind of a chetzah shel taroves, or it's more than that. It's also a different, you know, mechayim. It's just a different kind of iser. Having be'en inside a taroves, you know, is one kind of problem. And having tam iser is something else entirely. So, of course, this goes back also, just to say a couple of things about this quickly, to the question of how bittul, or what bittul is. So I alluded to this before by saying that if you want to take the connotation of kama kama batel, the implication of that is that the bittul is transformative in some way. It's formal. It's not just a determination practically of, you know, where you are, you know, and whether there's a basis for isa. Sounds like bittul is a din. So what is that din? Either nefach, you know, hamiyut lios kerov, which is a hard thing to say, but Rishonim say it. Or, I think another way to say that, but in a more subtle way, doesn't get you as many benefits, but I think it works in more cases, is not so much nefach, you know, hamiyut lios kerov, but at a certain point you're allowed to relate to a chefza, especially a chefza shel taroves, you know, in a kind of a rubo kikulo type of a way. In other words, acknowledging that it's a complex chepta, but defining it or, you know, assessing it based on its dominant, you know, ikar. It's like, you know, you define the tarobas by the ikar. So It could be that you're eating a little novella. Not a good thing, don't get me wrong. But you're not eating novella be'en, you're eating novella tok tarobes, or you're eating novella as an ingredient in a chatza shel heter. Okay. Now, of course, if you could identify it, you know, then that wouldn't be an excuse, because then it wouldn't be defined simply as part of the chatza shel tarobes. It would retain its be'en identity, right? And then it would always be just intrinsically us. But to the extent that we do relate to it as part of the tarobes, right, what we're saying is it's mutter to eat it, because you're not eating nevela betoka tarobes, you're eating, you know, tarobes she'ikaro, and therefore as a hagdara, as a tarobes, is defined by the ikar as mutter. Yeah.
It's necessarily true that when if you find the novella is separable, that it's automatically usher, because by a case where there's the nine meat stores in the block, and row of them are kosher, even the novella is distinct, it's totally separate.
Well, there's a question of suffix, though. I'm talking about trying to apply. Your question's a great question, but
which one it is.
Yeah. So, I'm not talking about. Limiting when you apply the din of bittul in a bigger way too. I'm talking about limiting a formal bittul which is kind of matir. Okay. The nafkaminas, for example, can you, like the case that you're talking about is a case of kavua, right, or rove, or you know, called a parish miruba parish, right? No one thinks in that case that there's any heter, or that we're treating it as heter. There we're saying, you know, you're relying on rove, you know, and you have a heter gavra, let's say, but no one thinks that the chetz is heter. No one thinks that it's nefach leheter, and there is no tarovis in that case. Right? So, for example, this is, again, I don't want to get too involved in Yoredeya, just it's like my one quick foray. But, like, you know, of course, again, there are many chilukim, but I'm only talking about in the context of a tarovis, and where the bittul somehow has a formal impact, not an informal assessment that you can just rely, you know, on the rove. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, for example, let's say this is a famous debate between the Rajma and the Rush, you know, like in some case, can you eat, let's say you have three pieces, two of heter and one of iser, can eat the whole thing or not? Okay, so you know you can only discuss that in a taroves. You know, can you eat the whole thing? But vasachas is what I mean.
Yeah.
So, like in kol de parish miruba parish, you can only do what you do because you're looking at that one piece and you're saying, well, stama, it's part of the row. Now you're saying that as a beerer until you know otherwise because of the percentages, right? Saying it even then acknowledging it as a hakra, that's also a question that's similar to this. But even as a beerer, right, you're assuming it's heter. You're projecting it's not the nevela. Right? What I'm trying to explain is that you could say kama kama batel and that will have impact in the future even when the numbers change because you already transformed. You assigned a heter status through the bittul. I'm trying to explain how can you do that. So what I'm saying is, there are some Rishonim who believe in such a notion of nefach leheter. That's a little bit difficult to explain. I think there are three ways to say it. One is nefach leheter, but that's very hard to explain. The second one is what I'm explaining now, which is you're eating a betoras taroves, which is defined by the ikar. So as long as you can relate to it as a taroves, right, then you can eat it as, you know, ikar, rubo, or heter. And the third way is that it's a matir. The Torah said, you know, if you have such a situation, we're matir. Right. We're not just, you know, not just misafek you can do it, Now, the third way could apply in theory to kol parish beruv parish, but even then, it's a good bet that you should be mechalik.
Yeah, so once you define this being a chas social hetar, every piece of it now becomes not there. That was the point that I was trying to compare.
Right, I'm saying, but how does that happen? I mean, you have nevela, it's still nevela. So what I'm saying is, if ever you could identify it as nevela, you know, it would never be mutter. Nevela doesn't become, you know, non-nevela just because you can't identify it, right? It could be a heter gabra, but the chefza remains nevela. The only way the chefza could change is if you're saying, I'm not defining the chefza by this little morsel. I'm looking at, you know, this massive taroves, and I'm saying it's like, you know, all of it is defined by, that's what I mean by rubo kikula. So that would be the idea. But for example, even in what we're talking about now, there's good reason to think to be mechalik between yavesh and lach for that reason. Like, in lach, you could say nefach. You could say, oh, you know, the chalav fell into the basar, now it's basar. You know, because it was overwhelmed. You know, so those molecules now are... You can't say that in yavesh b'yavesh, right? But what you could say in yavesh b'yavesh still, maybe, but less so, is that, you know, if it's all a taroves, even if it's yavish b'yavish, if it's lach b'lach, that's even a more, you look at it more as a chefta shel taroves too, right, than simply, oh, where you can't find the ends in this hodgepodge, you know what I'm saying? But you could still say that there's a taroves of yavish, maybe. Not in kol d'parish meruva parish, but, you know, in a taroves of yavish. Is there a difference between hefter shenafal l'toch iser shenafal l'toch hefter? It's another issue. A third issue, these are all huge machloksin. As I said before, can you eat the whole thing at once? Or do you have to at least pay lip service to the possibility, you know, that, like, you know, you have three pieces and one is usur, so you can only eat two? You know. Does it matter, like, if there's a dine mamonis aspect, like it's truman, it's mamon shokoin, that's the issue. Do you have to be meirin? Do you have to take a piece out? So at least you're not Mimon of Shach stealing, you know, from the Kohanim. Right. These are all kind of issues. So, So, in between saying that, you know, you're looking at it as the Taroves and not looking at it as the Be'en, is the idea that you're being kind of matirit betoras or because of the Taroves. And these are all important issues. Now, once you get to the point, what do I mean when I say, oh, you know, of course, if you get to Rove, we understand that could be a different chalos, not just a different moment. And if you get to Tam, that could be as well. But that, of course, depends. I guess there are three ways to look at Tam. One way is that Tam, the most innocuous way to look at Tam, is that Tam simply impedes Bittol. In other words, if I can taste the Iser, then I can't, you know, project that it's not there. So normally I would say bittel based on the numbers, whatever, however bittel works, but if there's tam, I can't. Right? A second way to explain tam is that tam is a concentration, it's a different kind of taroves. The presence of the be'en is more intense. And as such, you know, it's a different chalos taroves in terms of the proportion of it. You can go even further with that if there's what we call, this is for those of you here last year, I'm not going to elaborate more, if there's tamo mamasho, right, that's where Reb Chaim Cohen, we spoke about last year, but whoever wasn't here last year, don't worry about it. But Reb Chaim Cohen, of course, explains that tamo mamasho, if you eat a kazayas of a tarobis of tamo mamasho, you know, then you're chayim. I mean, tamo mamasho isn't, tamo mamasho is achilas kazayas kadeh achilas pras. So typically that's understood to be a shear in Siruf of Maisa Achila. Reb Chaim Cohen, and I thought the Rambam in Taroves Chametz, thinks that it's also a shear in Chetzah Shel Taroves. In other words, if you have enough, be'en, you know, that if you were to eat a pras, you'd end up eating a kazayas of the Taroves, a kazayas of the Iser, right? Then that's a concentration. Just as Tam is a concentration. So instead of saying it's din in Sirif Achila, or it's just a din in impeding the rove, it could just be that these are more intense chalos tarovios. And then, of course, the third possibility in Tam is that the Tam is what's Asur, meaning there's something called Tam Isur,
right,
which is Asur in its own right. Now, if Tam Isur is Asur in its own right, number one, you may not need the Be'en to be there. Like, let's say you already took out the Be'en, but it left its Tam. That's a whole issue, whether Nimoach, whether the Be'en is Nimoach. Does that matter or not? Right? Secondly, if you treat the Tam, you know, not merely or differently, you know, than you would treat Safek Be'en, right? That would indicate it as well. So, for example, the famous debate between Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Yaakov Orleon and Bali Tosis all over Shas, you know, do you get Malkus for Tam Ki Ikar? Right? If you say Tam Ki Ikar, do you get, you know, do you get Malkus for Nevela or not? If it's a independent Iser Tam, then maybe you don't. Another famous issue is the discussion in the poskim, Shach against the Ramah. It's known as, but it has earlier roots. You know, when you talk about you know, min v'she'eno mino, which is a, you know, a question which is, you know, dependent upon the shir of shishim or tam, right? Do you go basar shma or basar taima? That's the famous discussion. Meaning, let's say you have two minim, you know, that don't taste differently, but they have a different name. You know, they have a different identity, LPD. Is that called min b'mino or min she'eno b'mino? So if the real point of min she'eno b'mino, you know, if it's a formal legal thing, and this has a different shear, you know, then that would be true for basar shma, you know, as well. And they'd say, oh, but, you know, it's the shear of not the actual tam. But if it's the tam, then of course it has to be basar taima. This is a major debate, you know, between the Ramah and the Shach and Yoredeya. And then, of course, it equally, another example is it shishim or is it tam? Right? Normally we say, you know, in many makoros in Shas, you know, these are interchangeable. The idea of shishim and the proportion of shishim and the effect of tam. But you can have lekula and lechumra, cases where you have tam and not shishim, you know, or shishim and not tam. Right? So what really, is it the concentration? And tam is just usually the, you know, the way to measure that, you know? But then it doesn't matter in the specific case, right? It's the numbers. Or is it really the oser of tam? Or something, another example that we had last year, we talked about, Rambam defies that a little bit. We did it of davar sheish lematirin, afilu be'elef lo bata, right? That's a rule. Davar sheish lematirin, let's say, you know, muktzah, on which is Asar B'Yom Tov and Shabbos, but you know, Motzai Shabbos, Motzai Yom Tov, it'll be Beis HaShenolda, but it's Muktzah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but afterwards it's going to be Mutter. Right? So if it falls into a Tarovitz, we say, I feel the Elef Lobata. However, the most Makoros, the Gemara Nadarim, and so on, are Mechalik between Min B'Mino, Min Shein of B'Mino. Like, that's true in min b'mino, but if it's min she'eno b'mino, then you don't apply the principle of davar sheish lematirin, afilu be'elef lobata. Again, the Rambam, again, only for the people who were here last year, I don't want to scare everybody else, but the Rambam, in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, when he talks about tarovis chametz, right, and davar sheish lematirin, he says that tarovis chametz is an exception to the rule that davar sheish lematirin is only in min she'eno b'mino. So because of the special gzeres hakasuv of the isra of tarovis chametz, right, that also determines that the davar sheish lematirin will apply to min b'mino I'm sorry, to Minsha'enu b'mino as well as min b'mino. And we tried to explain that last year. All right, hopefully everybody remembers it fondly. Okay. But typically, we don't say that. So why don't we say that? So the best explanation is that when you have Minsha'enu b'mino, right, and it's based on, basically it's an issue of tam. So it's not, it's either there or it's not there. If the tam is the isser and there's no tam, right? If it's yosem yishishim and there's no tam, so it's not like, what do you mean? Tam sheishlo matir and wait it out, right? And again, Iran has his own explanation, but Iran in the dark. But if you take the typical bitoch sheochlenu, you know, be isser tochlenu beheter, like Rashi says in Beitza. Right, so why does that apply to min she'enu b'mino? The answer is because min she'enu b'mino, you know, the bittel is bittel gomor. The only problem is tam. You know, and if there's no tam, there's no tam. So there's no iser. It's not that, that you are in bata. The bigger point I'm trying to make here is that there is this massive issue whether bittel, especially in the context of Taroves, is really a formal matir of some sort. Hofeich, matir, I gave you three, you know, ways to understand how that might work. Or no, these are just shiurim, you know, in Iser, when the Iser applies and when it doesn't. It's not a matir. But to say kama kama batal and to mean it, you know, that's kind of what you have to be saying. So a lot of distinctions then will apply. Min b'mino, you know, min she'enu b'mino yavesh, you know, yavesh lach, you know, balach, iser b'toch heter, heter b'toch iser, you know, eating the whole thing, you know, b'basachas, you know, not having to, you know, neutralize some dine mamanis, you know, aspect of the taroves or not, etc. Okay, but this is the bigger picture, and for many Rishonim, so I've tried to identify three views on Bali Tosis and Ramban. You know, these issues will dictate when you say Chos V'Nir, when you say Kama Kama Batel, and frankly, whether you fully mean either of those phrases, because they both are very formalistically, you know, formulated. Okay, and you may not have to work with that. As for Kilayah Karim, well, that is... okay, so just to go very quickly through Ramban and Tosfos, just to get these points very quickly. Stephen, you wanted to...
Sure. Where was Humboldt door?
Yeah, the big one. But just, you know, pretty quickly. No. Well, we'll get back. We still have to get back to that. We still have to finish up a little bit on Tuesday. But the Kama Kama Batal part. Oh, so this is the point, the first point I wanted to make. Right, that's what he's addressing. Meaning, what's he saying?
We're not going to say that we're never going to get to 200, and that every little bit of...
Because previously, Vader Tom was explaining, right, that we are applying Kama Kama Batel. That's why between the two, right, Gedors, you're not going to be Mitzare. But Davka Kishay Shefsek Benatayim, Avol Be'alma, so that, you know, you don't have a Bavarasachas in Kalayim. The answer is yeah, but that doesn't mean you have a Hefsek Benatayim. Or which of those do you need? Right? The law of meaning called Porta Pratukish Ugodlam is Batal. Again, I would have said the whole question just doesn't get off the ground. There's no Taroves. Thank you. And we'll see in a moment that the Ramban's going to suggest that it's Heter Beheter. Correct? At that point. Yeah. Behad Amar Paragbana Basra Barzara.
Hamehara Yain Nesef Mechavis Mavor Afilu Koyom Kulo Kama Kama Batal.
Yeah, and that's not the view of Tosfos in Bechoros, right? Which rejects Rabbeinu Tam. Okay.
Well,
actually, funny, right? Because kilayim in Tosas became the rule. That became the paradigm case. I'm saying the whole time, you know, kilayim is a shaky, shaky case. That's not kama kama batel to begin with. Not even an issue. There's just no tzirim. Yeah. Okay. The fisha gadal below hefsek. Go ahead.
The Had Amrubame Isha Shmuel Abedabinte Mikvos Yomei Nisan Kule Shema Yirba Hanotvim Al Hazokle Hainu Shema Yirba Below Hefsek.
Yeah, you have to interpret all those Gemaras now. Below Amrubin Kamakamba Batel.
Chim Harabinu Nayar Gabi Batel Shapo Bishvias Mito Bishminas Rabbi Gidula Valtaro Mater Below Amrubin Kamakamba Batel Fisha Gadar Below Hefsek.
So again, all this conflicting evidence, again, we've said what we said, that's why I spoke about it abstractly first, but you're seeing, this is the point. Now, interestingly, Tosis originally had the formulation of why this is not kama kama batel, right, because it's Holech Begadel, etc. And then for some reason, Tosis needed another one. Bereben Rabbeinu Meir.
Bereben
Rabbeinu Meir
appeared for Septim Nadarim, de Batel, Klaim, de Gabi Notvim, de Vestam, de Kach.
But I think
it's not.
Right.
Not. It's normal the way they go this way.
So it's a different formulation. What he's not saying that it's that there's no hepsic, because it's a natural, inexorable, albeit slow process. What's he saying?
That they naturally grow slow.
It's Vestam, de Kach. This is the way. Ligodel ma'at ma'at, therefore la batil kama kama. So this, I think, is just an interesting, different perspective on, you know, not so much on kilaya karim, but again on this idea of, you know, do you need a hefsek? Do you need that it shouldn't be bivas achas? Does it need to be natural, or just next? As long as, you know, this is that meaning. It's not a critical moment. What Tosis here might be saying is like, you know, there's no, it's vesta bekak, so. You don't assess kilayim every minute, right? Not because it's continuous, but because there's no happening. Like, why all of a sudden should we be looking at whether there's, you know, kilayim? So there's like a different model for, you know, explaining. But again, all within the same mentality that we're plugging in kilayim kerem completely to other things. Okay. As opposed to Yain Nesach. Yeah. Then he asks other questions.
Yeah.
So this may peiros. You can see what's going on here. In other words, he's answering away all the contrary evidence. This Tosis is clinging that the main default principle is always kama kama, batel, although, again, what constitutes hepsik and bevasachas and so on, that there are different deals. Or just give another example, okay?
Or
yeah, just a little bit. Even may peiros. Oh, no, that's true, but about. Okay. Yeah, no, you can skip that. Just another example of what other chilukim does he have here? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there in Tuma, we don't say kama kama bata. So, oh, that's because Tuma. Yeah, that's a problem. So it's a problem. Yeah. And then he has another one, Shiny Dam Tfusa Drabanan, Yesh Lahakal Bal Yoser. Bikitsur, you get the basic idea. What about the Ramban? So the addition of the Ramban here is what I mentioned before. First of all, his formulation of Ramban here in Bav Basra. as I say, in my opinion, the Ramban is mostly following the Bali Tosas paradigm, but he's kind of tempted, because of his view of Kilaya Karen, to break out from it, and maybe he does in part, but not, you know, not fully. But along the way, he has several interesting lines. It's interesting that he puts here. You have it, Stephen? So this is actually a little bit of a different formulation, right? It doesn't say it's natural. It doesn't say that it's best done. It's close. But you see, they're all struggling to try to explain, if you hold kama kama batel, so kilayim is really going to be a big problem. Everything else you could say bevasachas, you know. But then the question is, what's the paradigm? Bevasachas? You know, is the only iser? Or real hefsek is the only heter? And what about things in between? And if so, is it meant the naturalness of the growth? Is it the destan bekach? Here he's saying, kivin shesofo lavo, v'hu holech v'gadel me'elav. I mean, there's no maisa of the gabra, so therefore that doesn't either constitute like a critical moment, oh, this is a time to assess, or that, you know, we look at it as discrete action, or discrete, you know, as opposed to, well, you know, just draw a big circle around, you know, sofa labo. You know, this is like a moment. This is the bevasachas of Kilayim. Very interesting just how different formulation, but also the way he presents it, oh, like, you know, this puts pressure on the very tziruf of Kilayim to begin with. But I would have just said, no tarobas. Maybe even later there's no tarobas. Certainly no tarobas now. Yeah. Okay. Ma'ashen ke b'ma'ara, may love of poly bedaito. Right. Now here I thought it's very interesting because, again, he's already said this. Right? He basically said it. But now is where, you know, he can't help himself with tova, but plug in his own formulation, which makes even better, in a way, Rabbeinu Tam's chiluk. Now, going back to the, you know, the disruption with the you know, Gedaro. So this, I think, is very interesting. Miu, the Kilayim. Especially since he just explained that the sof iser haba me'elav is part of the reason that you could have kilaya kerem, you know, to begin with. So now he's saying, oh, that makes even more compelling, right, Rabbeinu Tam, I think for two reasons. Number one, the invisible reason is because of my view that this is all about maisa irvu v'ayidei ye'usho, and that was totally stopped. It wasn't a Tosefes Masayim Irvuv ever. And it's the Maisa Irvuv, which is Kodeya. That's the implicit one. Moreover, since I've just explained that the only reason we ever have Tziruv is because of Sofo Lavo, right? So there's no Sofo Lavo when you put a stop to it and you delayed it or you signaled your intention to disrupt it. It's sofa lavo physically still, the yanika, but not legally anymore. Right? So that's, I think, what he's saying. Miu bekilayim, bishagadar, is batel. Oh, the irbavu is the oser, and he disrupted that. Right? By making the sense. So, in a sense, he was almost like okarit. What's he getting from that? Zeh somach ha-gedem mikan. That's the sigillator on Chavav. What does that do with anything? Meaning, we don't care about the unika of the Messiah, which is Sofa Labo. We care about the fact, you know, that that's taking place without an explicit, you know, rejection of the Nichale part or the Irvud. But it's not the Torah's Irvud anymore. It's just unika b'li Irvud. Right? So that's why I'm saying it's a combination of, you know, accentuating, you know, what no longer is in terms of that problem for Menutam, but even more so Lishitaso, you know, that the Irvo, this is without saying, and Kelayakarim shiny b'shiny, that part he hasn't said yet. Okay, go ahead. Then comes the Kashali. I'm just going to finish with the Ramban and then we'll stop.
The Kashali, V'hal lo kaim on t'man damar b'inyin yayin nesach b'shem mishum bata.
We don't paskin this way, because again, unlike our Tosas and Baba Kama, you know, that default, which Tosas clings to very hard there generally, is very hard to maintain. And even if you don't want to go the other extreme like the Tosas and Bechoros, right, there are still going to be chilukim, substantive chilukim, and the question is, how is this going to fit into that? Go ahead. To get out of all those questions.
Yeah.
Even though here it's min b'mino, but it's still benosin tam. That's the Ramban likes that chiluk, as do some other rishonim. But that's what I was saying before. Tosis in some places it's rov. For the Ramban it's already tam. But even in min b'mino, you could have said only in shein b'mino. Okay, v'yesh bo kedei l'tein tam. Shalom b'mino. Go ahead.
Shishim. Afilu lo mahal shem v'as hachas lo amin rishon rishon batel shari starif
ad kedei l'tein botam. The tam alo batel. So is he saying, yeah, we don't mean kama kama batel ever. What we really mean is that there's really just no shiur lasar. But now there's a shiur lasar. And there's no bittel. Or is he saying, no. Till now, we were applying a din of kama kama batel because we were looking at it in terms of the be'en. Right? But now it's a different chalos because it's no saint tam, at least theoretically no saint tam. The tam ala batel. That's a different moment and a different chalos. Okay. Zeu shashaninu, social truma.
Social truma shenafo lemea v'lo hispik v'agia ad shenafo acheres. Harizu asura. Isa b'shabes perak notel v'hu hadin l'orlo klaim alfa fisha inu tzarech laharim v'him f'resh tzalein baruchal perak basu v'tzarech l'zara v'komakom l'inin klaim v'chubarim efshar kibar v'inim tamzal.
Oh, again, here's the So what's that? Now he's going back to it. So, this should put pressure on this question because it's not kama kama batel. Instead of saying what I would like him to say here, which is, you know, the whole kilaya karam is just a different story. He doesn't do that. Efshar kedivrei Rabbeinu Tam. But again, within his own view, that we say kiven de gadar ukvar nifsak. Because just like the Yiyush, you know, is an Irvuv, right? The putting of a Gader is a Maisa Lahata, because that's, you know, clearly Megaladaito. She'eno Ma'arve. Just like in the Kuntras, he was always, you know, he keeps saying, Oni V'yachal Lakor, right? Or Omed Lakor. Okay, he doesn't have to actually be Oker, it doesn't matter. He is reversing the Maisa Irvuv. That's what it is. Now, here's the other part of what I had. Right. Okay. 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 Okay, that's one answer.
The
Ah, now what does he mean by heter lobatel here? I'm not 100% sure. Does he mean that shvius is not an iser, shvius is just has dinim? Or is he saying that, you know, the Tosefes is heter? Hard to say. There's a part of the Ramban in general that, you know, has this big sheet about heter beheter lobatel, and others pick up on it too. In a way, that's the, you know, the Ran in the Darim that I think, you know, we spoke about last year. So the famous Ran in the Darim says that because it's heter beheter, because it's the Sofresh Matirin, so it's like min b'mina, not batel. That this notion, it comes, I think, originally pretty much from the Ramban about heter beheter lo batel, and he's applying to Shvi'it. But once he has that, so then to apply that to Kilaya Kerem, you know, that it's also heter beheter. But then he adds the words, go ahead. So if he had stopped at that, just said heterahu, because it is, again, that would have been just fine. But I think it's just amazing that he adds zev fnatsu zev smiatsu, vein echem hem asar at jehosif the masayim. So I think that's where he gets the closest to saying, you know, that not only, again, he's still within the rubric of regular dine bito, because he's applying, oh, it's like heter beheter. But he could have just taken it one step further and said, it's not even heter beheter, because there's no taroves. Even now, b'masayim, there's no taroves. There's just, you know, the oser of irvul. Okay. Lefikok zeruah ba. Zeruah ba nesar
b'tosefes, lo nina rishon batel, deter lo batel.
It's even true beheter beheter, but if there's bitl biyadayim, that's a different story. Then his batel b'shuve nechozav neher. Then he has the yesh kolkim.
Yesh kolkim the owner sheim husif dein shliap ha'chutzos the masayim nesar v'lorim mian rishon rishon batel ulefikach shen breisa.
This is the other shita that says on the contrary it's mitzarev. So of course if it's mitzarev, you know, what is that? That's because in general, you know, this view is more partial to Chozer B'nei, or because this view thinks that Kilayim is not Maisa Irvuv, which is disrupted. It's, you know, Kol She'ein Ikuv Shel Lo Nichale, you know, the Yanika of which creates like a Taroves of Kilaya Kerem is like Masa B'chala. Hard to know. Okay, so that's it for this. I know I'm taking a little longer, but let's. I still want to talk about Rabban Kuntristina de Garmi, but that's, you know, then we'll finish with that. And again, Kona Miyado starting off, and I'll give you more Marmakomos probably Tuesday, but what I gave for Kona Miyado was certainly good enough to start with. Okay, so and tomorrow we'll do regular. I want to keep the regular schedule as much as possible. So regular tomorrow. I'll try to get here earlier so we can have some first-year meetings. And somebody else wanted to speak to me. Whoever else had more urgent? You? No. Just speak to Avrami, because Avrami is going to organize. And then we'll pick up Tuesday, definitely, starting with Kanabiyana. But I do want to speak about the Kuntristina de Garmi, and I think I missed one that Yitzhak pointed out. Right, the very, very end, there's another one. Right, the last one, about Gedor. So I saw that. That was very good. That's closer, pretty much, to what I wanted to say, actually. But he pointed that out to me. So we'll do those, and the Ramah, and the... You know, that's still that little... The question of Garmi Hezek Shein Nikar, we'll do fast, but Garmi Hezek Shein Nikar, Giridi Day, those are the... I mean, back to the Choshev Mishpat parts, very quickly. Okay.
Ready, man.